Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking at the comparison, in one respect, between Jonah and Elijah, because even though Elijah had been successful, actually Jonah had as well, it appeared that both men have apparently risked their lives for nothing. Jonah wanted, of course, not to see success, and Nineveh repented. In the case of Elijah, he was very incredibly used and was successful in terms of obeying the word of the Lord, but there wasn't national repentance in Israel as a result of that. So while Israel's enemies were still powerful, they had risked their lives, and things weren't different as far as Elijah and as far as Jonah. Nineveh was still an enemy to Israel. And I think they continued for a while. It was maybe 100 years later that Nineveh was finally destroyed. And both seemed to be close to a nervous breakdown. They are very, obviously, he's having a temper tantrum, Jonah, and Elijah just was, you know, just let me die, Lord. And so sometimes, you know, it's easier to repent of open, gross sin, as Nineveh did, than to repent of a grudge in the heart or a wrong spirit, as Jonah. But let's go back to my original thought. How could we possibly compare the prophet Jonah with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let me share a couple passages with you. We're going to be reading Matthew from the 12th chapter, verses 38 through 41. And certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." They wanted to see a miracle. But he, that's Jesus, answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas..." This, we know, this is not just a story. This is a reality. This is Jesus saying, "Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." It's very interesting to note that Jonah is the only minor prophet referred to specifically by Jesus, and the only prophet with whom he compares himself. Now let's share a passage of scripture found in Luke, the 11th chapter. I want to read verses 29 through 32, I think. "And when the people were gathered together," Jesus had been teaching, "he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." In these two parallel scriptures, there are three main thoughts expressed. One, Jesus talks about an evil and adulterous generation. Secondly, that Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. And he spoke of the sign of the prophet Jonas. As Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so Christ was a sign to this generation. He was comparing himself with the experience that Jonah had. And let's look now at those thoughts. Number one, that evil and adulterous generation. He was referring to the Jews, his own, who had received him not. The true relationship between Israel and Jehovah had been represented by the prophets as that of a wife to a husband, the closest human relationship that is known to man. There's no closer relationship than a husband and wife. We see that in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea. The adulterous generation was therefore one that was unfaithful to the Lord. They wanted a sign instead of finding sufficient proof of God's love and faithfulness in what he had already done. All right, and Jesus said that Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. How could Jonah be a sign to the Ninevites? Well, first of all, there was a divine message in his mouth. He had no wish to come. He was unwilling. He didn't want to do that. He tried to escape the errand and went the opposite direction, but God made him. He knows how to do that. He let him spend some time, 3 days, to think about it in the belly of a whale. But if the Lord had mercy upon Jonah, who knew the living God when he repented, so would he on the Ninevites. Praise God. And then there was the miracle of his deliverance. They not only heard the divine message that Jonah brought, but they saw in him living proof of God's mighty saving power. Jonah wrought no miracles, but he himself was a miracle, one raised from the dead. And also, this is just an interesting sidelight, if you will, his physical appearance. You know, it makes me wonder, can you imagine? It says that this whale, this big fish, vomited up Jonah on dry land. I wonder if anyone actually saw that. That would be cause for conversation, would it not? His arrival in Nineveh, we saw it with our own eyes. This big fish came up right up to the shore and vomited out this man. And some have suggested, rather sensationally, that Jonah's skin was bleached by the digestive juices of the great fish. So that could have been another stunning attraction to his physical person, that he had had the consequences of having been in that belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. But why would they believe his story? Well, the judgments of God had already been falling. I think I shared that before. They had seen things occur, and most of the ancient people were very religious, if you will. They believed in a multiplicity of gods, and they took great effort in trying to please those gods. In fact, actually, the name Nineveh is named after Nineh, N-I-N-A, the earlier Sumerian name of the goddess Ishtar. And do you know what her sign was? It was written with a sign depicting a fish. So whatever the case, Jonah preaches 40 days, a message of mercy and judgment. 40 days grace followed by judgment. And interesting, when you study biblical numerology, if you will, the significance of numbers in the scripture, 40 days is a time of testing. Remember, before Jesus started his ministry, he fasted 40 days and nights in the wilderness. But also, 40 days is a period of grace. And so that's why God specifically, it could have been, just go for 2 weeks, go for 21 days, go for 30 days. No, he said 40 days. And so there was a period of testing and a time of grace. And the Ninevites believed Jonah and they were saved. And beloved, for today, all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from the wrath of a just God. And that's why the Jews of Jesus' day were so condemned, because one so much greater was in their midst. Remember those scriptures I shared from Matthew and Luke? Those were the very words of Jesus. The people of Nineveh believed and received the word of the Lord. And the point that Jesus was making is clear. The generation that was listening to his own words didn't have as much faith as the wicked, perverse, heathen Gentiles. And they were on the top of the list as far as their wickedness, idolatry, and evil. And so, as I shared, you know, in Matthew 12 and Luke 11, the words of Jesus. So Jonah was indeed a sign to the Ninevites. And the casting forth of Jonah upon dry land may also be something to think about, a foreshadowing of the great day in time when both earth and sea shall cast forth their dead that are in them, some to the sunshine of eternal life and some to the darkness of eternal shame, which we know will take place at the great white throne judgment. Well, beloved, my time has just flown, and it's fascinating to learn a little bit more about the prophet Jonah and what Jesus had to say about him, what he had to say about himself, and understand that we are truly under the judgment of God. This world is under the judgment of God if they will not receive the salvation that was so freely given in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you have not accepted Jesus, or you may be backslid, the Lord's calling you to his heart. He's got open arms, and all you have to do is repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and help you to live for him. And it's a simple transaction between the God of heaven and earth and you. And you will grow and learn the ways and the will of God for your own life. Well, my time is gone and I must bring this broadcast to a close. We'll continue tomorrow. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.